Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Tetvav. And even though we already did the Mishnah, because we viewed it as part of the necessary way to approach the previous Mishnah, because we were all part of the same Mishnah, we will start again with the Halakha Mishnah, but because of the special circumstances, we will introduce it by none other than Doc. And that's what Richie gets for going out on skiing trips. Go for it, Doc. You did a great job, other than the fact that you're muted. So, the next part of the broken up Naziris into two parts, where we had before the Mishnah that talked about a standard Naziris, and then it was broken up by his son. How about a case where somebody says, Harini Nazir L'Kishyeli Bein, similar to the previous part of the Mishnah, and here he adds that he wants to become a Nazir for 100 days. So then, if Nolad Lo Bein Ad Shivim, Lo Hifsid Klum. So as long as he's kept anything up to 70 days of the 100 days, he doesn't lose anything. Because at that point, he moves on after the 70 days. He moves on with the birth of the son to keeping the 30 days of the Nazirut for his son. And when that time is up, he still has 30 days left to grow his hair in order to complete 100 days. And therefore, he has the same total of days and doesn't need to add any hair growing days. This is, again, remember, we've been going through the sugya like the Rambam, and therefore that's all that it means. According to some of the other Rishonim, we spoke about the Rabbeinu Tam, who learns that lo hifsid means literally he didn't lose any time for the additional Naziris of the son, because it actually will run concurrently, and he won't end up keeping more than 100 days. We didn't take that approach at all. And the next words, therefore, a little bit different the way the Rambam has the Girsa. If he went beyond 70 days before the son was born, so then Soter, this would be according to the Rambam, Soter Ad Shivim, which means that basically any extra days up until those 70 days, he's going to have to keep again anyway as hair growing days, because he needs 30 days at the end. She'ein tiglachat pachot mishloshim yom. Okay, there's some very strange pshatim over here, and that's Soter Shivim, that you're going to actually lose the 70 days, which some of the Mefarshim explain, not simply that you won't be able to use it, but that you'll use it because of the fact that there would be no way to have a completion that was within the range of your original Kabbalah that allowed you a Tiglachat. Again, we talked about all of those possibilities and ended up focusing on the Rambam Strat, which is simple and consistent and direct, word for word of the Sugya, at least the way that his Girsa in the Sugya seems to be, the way that he quotes it, which is Ad Shivim. And that's because Ein Tiglachat Pachot Mishloshim Yom. Omar Rav. So Rav says, let me just point out one interesting thing, and that is that day 70, which is the 70th day of your 100-day Nazirut, is also day one of your 30-day Nazirut, because it's the day that your son was born, and the first day of the Nazirut counts as a day, right? So this day is basically counting twice. It's day 70, and you only have to make up 30 days afterwards, which give you your full 100 days. And it's also day one, so that in the total, you end up subtracting one day. It wasn't 130 days that you accepted, even though it was, because one of those days is 2 days. So you say, Mixus Ayom Kekulo at the beginning of the day, which closed your 70 days. And then from the midpoint of the day when the child was born, you started keeping the interrupting Naziris of 30 days. So you got yourself out of a pickle a little bit, because you no longer have, again, this is the Rambam's approach. The others would learn that it has to do with the total number of days, because if, like the Rabbeinu Tam, if it's running concurrently. Again, we'll take the Rambam's simple approach. And therefore, you really end up gaining a day. Says the Gemara, well, but that's not what it says in the Mishnah. Tonight, look at the Mishnah. It says, Nolad lo achivim lo yahivsid klum. I mean, that's not right. What do you mean, lo hivsid klum? Forget about not losing anything. You actually gained a day. So it should say, If Rav is correct, why does it say he didn't lose anything? It should say he gained the day. Kitaguri mitagar. True. I mean, you're right that really, if we were going to be very, very careful with the language, we shouldn't have said ad shivim. Because basically, I mean, if we're going to talk about ad shivim necessarily, so then Enochinami would have had to mention that he actually ends up with a day plus. But look, I mean, we're going to end up saying in the Mishnah that if it's after 70 that he ends up losing ad shivim. So, I mean, over there, it's like anything, you know, it's a 71, 72, 75, 83, whatever it is. So, I mean, we can't start making these kind of distinctions. So we just took this 70, and that's why it said up to 70 in the Mishnah. But, I mean, the truth is it would be 71, really. No, I mean, come on. Take a look at the Sefer of the Mishnah. If he's born, Acher Shivim Soter. That isn't even true. Because if the child is born after 70 days, even if the child is born on day 71, he still doesn't lose anything. So then the Mishnah is saying something that simply is giving us the wrong shear. If it's trying to tell us, I understand, you don't want to talk about gaining, okay? But don't tell me that you are Soser after 70. You are not Soser after 70. Because on day 71, you do not lose anything. And therefore, you cannot call that Soter. Well, when it says acher, it doesn't mean after 70. It means after 70. Well, all right. So it's if it's significantly after 70. Now, maybe a day after. So what are you trying to tell me? That we are now making distinctions between after and just after? So then what would the DP be? That if it was literally acher mamash, so then what? It wouldn't have been soter. So then what's the point of telling me in the beginning that you're telling me if he was nolad achivim, lo hifsid klum? That's simply not true. I mean, if we're going to start being careful about the after and the actual, so then even acher. If the point is the acher, so then you'd have to take that point in the ratio too, no? And it's not true what you're saying, because even if it was acher shivim, he wouldn't be losing anything because he gained that extra day. Didn't you say that you're not so, sir? Come on. So then if that's the case, then acher means acher, not acher. So Rav can't learn this Mishnah. I'm sorry. I mean, v'chein matnit l'Rav. I mean, come on, man. This is the reality. The Mishnah poses an impossible use of the same word in opposite ways, according to Rav, and it simply doesn't work, okay? So v'chein matnit l'Rav, that's what you're left with. A really ridiculous way to read a Mishnah, according to Rav. So then, Shema Aminu, if that's the case, the Mishnah proves that Rav is wrong. Okay, so then Rav wasn't going according to our Mishnah, correct. But then, I mean, what Tana says that he's right? V'Rav Kaman Amra L'Shmatite? Where did Rav get the idea that we can count the same day in the morning for Nezirut 1 and in the evening for Nezirut 2? Now, I mean, I can think of somewhere where we have that idea. We have that idea when it comes to Avelut, where if the Avel will be keeping 7 days, according to Abba Shaul, 7 days before the Chag, he then does not keep the Shloshim. Why? Because the first part of the seventh day, as we know, for any Avel, he gets up after his Shiva in the morning of the seventh day. But then the afternoon of the seventh day, the conclusion of the seventh day, is the eighth day, so to speak, because at that day he's keeping the Shloshim and not the Shiva. So if he already started the Shloshim before the beginning of the holiday, so then he does not keep Shloshim afterwards. Now that, Shita, is true according to Abba Shaul, as we'll see in a moment, and that would mean that according to Abba Shaul, day 7 counts in the morning for the Shiva and in the evening for Yom HaShmini. And maybe that's what Rav is saying, the same thing would be true over here. The 70th day counts in the morning for the last of the 70 days of his opening shot at Naziris, and after the birth of his son at the end of the day counts as the first of the days of the 30 days for his son's Naziris. That seems to be a nice basis. Let's take a look at it. Even though this isn't a Mishnah, we've seen many times that there are times that we will refer, even though usually the Mesoras HaShatz changes it and so on. But we have seen clearly that the Rishonim mentioned that there are certain brises that we talk about because of the Lashon is the Lashon of the Mishnah, or because it's an area where people are not familiar with the Dinim of the Mishnah. There's a lot of different approaches to that, that we will loosely use the word the Tanan. So I don't know that we have to really every time change the word the Tanan to the Tanya. But in any event, this is a brisa where it says, HaKoveret Meitom. Now this, we're going to start off with the Chachomim, not with Abba Shaul. So the Tanakama learns like this, that since there are 3 days of Avelut, which are called the days of Bichia, those 3 days have to pass before the Avel is considered to have kept his entire Shiva. Now, we don't paskin like this, but in any event, so the Tanakama says, someone who buries a relative, Shloshi Yomim Kodom L'Regel, so at that point, he no longer has to keep the Shiva. And if it's 8 days before the Regel, then he no longer has to keep the Shloshi, because he's already started on the eighth day, he started keeping the dinim of the shloshim. And because of that, he's allowed to get a haircut, Erev Yontif, because there's no shloshim for him. So even though the shloshim, you'd say, theoretically, would be ended only at the moment that Yontif is chal, but since it's the Yontif that's canceling the shloshim, so he can actually get his haircut right before the regel. But if he doesn't, that means that he refuses to accept, basically, the heter lekoved yontev. So then the heck with him. So he doesn't care about yontev. Yontev doesn't care about him. And he's going to have to keep the shloshim after the end of the yontev, because he never kept. Okay, Abba Shaul argues on both of those ideas. First of all, Abba Shaul says, look, there ain't no such thing as not taking advantage, and therefore you don't get the rights. That's not true. But besides that, I disagree with you about the 8 days. You don't need 8 days. All that the Avel needs is 7 days, because the seventh day counts in the morning towards the Shiva, and then the rest of the day becomes day number eight. So for all intents and purposes, the same day serves as the last day of Shiva and the first day of Shloshim. When I say first day of Shloshim, obviously it doesn't literally mean first day of Shloshim, because the Shloshim begins at the Shiva, but it means the first day of the Dinim of the Shloshim that are separate from the Dinim of the Shiva, right? That's how we're using the language. That's how we use it throughout the Masechet Moed Katan, where we had this sukkah. So Abba Shaul says, so first of all, there's no such thing as a penalty for not getting a haircut. So I feel lo siper kodem haregel, mutar lesaper achal haregel. Shikashem shi mitzvat shlosha mevatel gzerat shiva, kach mitzvat, whoa, shiva, not shmona, kach mitzvat shiva, mevatel gzerat shloshim. Now, why in the heck, if he didn't start keeping the shloshim, how could 7 days be mevatel the shloshim? My time at Abba Shaul must be, lav mishum, dekasava shvi'i ole lekan o lekan. So it's clearly because Abba Shaul holds that the 7 days really two different days. It's day seven of Shiva, and it's day one of the remainder of the Shloshim. There you go. And therefore, if Rav holds like that in our sugya, it would be the same thing. 1 day of Naziris is 2 days of Naziris. 1 day of Naziris is the last day of the Shivim and the first day of the Shloshim. Curious, huh? Just a coincidence. Says the Gemara, well, Rav would be taking a pretty big leap in claiming that just because Abba Shaul said that by Avelud, he would say the same thing when it comes to Naziris. I mean, come on. The whole idea of Avelud is really a dirabana. These dinim of the Shiva and the Shloshim and all of that. I mean, maybe there, Adkan Loka Omar Abba Shaul, Elaba Avelud Shiva, the Rabbana. I understand that Abba Shaul is saying that the Rabbana who created these Zmanim, so they went to Lakula. But, I mean, are you going to tell me that in the din of Nozir, where, I mean, it's Mamasha D'Oraisa, you are going to rely on that, that the same day counts as twice? I mean, doesn't really mean that it should be applicable. Now, this is not 100% clear, is it? Because Lamaisa, remember, the fact that we're going to cause him to wait till day 101 is because of a derabbanan. Because as we saw in the Oraisa, you really are allowed to do your tiglachas and bring your korbanos on the closing day of the Naziris. You don't have to wait till the next day. Remember, we had that whole discussion about 29 days of Naziris, 30 days of Naziris. So I mean, it boils down to a drabbanan, even according to Rav here, by the dinim of Naziris. So what the sugya means when it says this, as the Rush explains, is that a drabbanan extension of a diraisa halacha is oftentimes treated more chomor than a purely drabbanan. So since over here, even if you want to say that day 101 is a drabbanan chumra in the dinim of Naziris, but the fundamental dinim of Naziris are very, very strictly chomer diraisa dinim. And it's very likely, therefore, Rav, that even if Abishol was willing to make a chiddush like this, that the same day counts as two separate days, when it comes to a purely drabbanan din, how do you have a right to extend that into a din that is a fundamentally a diraisa din? So that can't be the makor of Rav. So what is Rav's makor to argue with our Mishnah and to claim that you actually gain a day because one day counts as 2 days? El Rav de Amik Reb Yossi. We do know that there's a shita of Reb Yossi in the Braita that has the same issue, binogea ashomeret yom kineged yom. Now, really, one of the most important areas where we have the concept of mixas hayom kekulay is in the halach of shomeret yom kineged yom. Just to remind you, so a woman who is roya dam during the time after the shivas yemei nidot, which is the 11 days between each period of nidot, so the halacha is that if she sees one day of dam, that gives her a din of tuma for the day, meaning that she has to wait a day of tahira, and then she can go to the mikvah. Now, actually, we paskin over there. That's called a shomeret yom kineged yom. She has to keep one day tahar because of one day tameh that she saw. If she saw for 2 days, it would still be a shomeret yom kineged yom. She has to keep three. Once she sees 3 days, she becomes a zavah gedolah, and she needs shivas yemei nekiyim. So the question over there is, she wakes up in the morning of the day of her shomeres yom kineged yom, and she says, oh, whoopsie daisy, I did not have any kind of re'iyat yet, and I've already kept part of my day. The din is that she can say mitzvah sayom kekulay, and she can go to the mikvah. Now, if she ends up in the end seeing dam on that day, so then, of course, the question is, did that change everything retroactively and make her tame retroactively? Or this is what we're going to be getting involved in. But here, too, we have the concept of mitzvah sayom kekulay. So let's see whether we can manage to conjure up a case in which we use a mixus of yom kekulo as partially part of one day and partially part of the next day. If we can do that, then we've got a marker for Rav. Now, the pashtus is, I'm sure most of you are thinking to yourself, well, how could we possibly conjure up a case like that? Because everybody knows that if in the end the woman is roya dam, even though she went to the mikvah and everything, she becomes retroactively tmeah. Now, this sugya is there to challenge those assumptions. Okay, so now, Reb Yossi's shita is like this, that if a shomeret yom kineged yom, she went ahead and she was keeping as her yom of being clean, and what they did is they shechted her korban Pesach for her on that day. It was Erev Pesach, and this was her second day, the yom kineged yom. And at the time, everything was great. She had not been roya any dam, and therefore she went to the mikvah, and she's fully believing that she's going to be at the Seder eating the Pesach with everybody tonight. Unfortunately, right before Shkia, she sees Dam again. So now she's Tmeah, and she cannot join the eating of Kachim. Obviously, she's Tmeah. But was she Yotze the Korban Pesach during that time? That's the question. So Achakach Ra'ata, so she clearly can't eat the Korban Pesach because she's Tmeah. But she is not chayev to bring a Pesach Sheni. And she was Yotze her Korban Pesach, despite the fact that she subsequently became Tmeah. Now, let's try to understand what this means. I mean, my time with Reb Yossi, what could this possibly mean? The only way to understand it is that Reb Yossi is basically saying, look, it's Mixas Hayom Kikuloi. So then that means the first part of the day counted completely. And now the Gra and many of the Rishonim as well cut out all the words up until the word Umikan Ulahaba. So Mixas Hayom Kekulay, Umikan Ulahaba Humitame. And cut out the words in between about Mimai, Vidilma, and so on, which have been put in here wrongly. So then what would that mean? It would mean that this period during which she was Tahora is considered to be indeed the end of her Yom Kineged Yom. So the first part of the day served to make her Tahora. And now she is part of a new Re'iyah that is Mechayev, another Yom Kineged Yom. Now, the only way to understand that is that the same day is really two separate days. This day, she was Tahora, and it's the end of her time of Zivas, and therefore she can be Yotzir Karban Pesach. When she's Roya Dam again, it is a new day and a new Re'iyah, and the day is counting as two completely different days of experience for her. And she, it's not a retroactive single day. And that would be perfect for Rav. One day can be two different days. So it's experienced at the beginning as the last of the 70 days of his 100-day Naziris, and the first of the 30 days of the Naziris of his 30 days that he's keeping for his birth of his child. Yeah, I mean, this is brilliant, except for the fact that it's wrong, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi does not hold that you're only Tameah from this point forward. Rabbi Yossi agrees that it's retroactive. Umi Sover, Rabbi Yossi, Hachi, Vatanya, Rabbi Yossi, Omer. Now, here we have the same situation, except here we're talking about a male, and remember, a male has completely different dinim of Zivas than a female. A female becomes Tameah for 7 days, when she is Roa three times, and a male becomes Tomei even being Roa two times. The only difference is the bringing of a carbon, which would require three times. Fine. Furthermore, there's another very serious difference which needs to be taken into consideration. And that is a female is a completely, in the first time that she's Roa Dam, she's completely Tomei like any Re'iyah's Dam. But that's because the Re'iyah's Dam of a female is completely indistinguishable in terms of what it is that's happening to her. It's completely indistinguishable from menses other than in terms of its timing. So we use the timing as an indication of a hormonal dysfunction. But in terms of what it is that's metame, it's metame. Masha'enkin, when it comes to a male, we are not talking about the same kind of material that would normally be ejected on ejaculation or something like that. We're not talking about semen. We're talking about something which is a prostatic fluid, which is called zivas, that has a completely different consistency that the Gemara describes, different consistency than semen. Therefore, the question is, when the Torah says that it's going to be making you tame for 7 days, in the event that there would be a Re'iyah of Zivas for one day after keeping their 7 days, so then that isn't really considered to be something that is metame. The fact that this new material is metame is a chiddush in the Torah. And one of the dinim that the Torah is mechadish is that this new material, this prostatic fluid, is metame, yes, but not necessarily metame as zivas. It's not defined as zivas. It's the combination of the timing and the material that makes it zivas. So therefore, if there's a one-time re'iyah, it's no different in terms of its halacha than a classic balkari. And that would make a lot of difference in terms of the dinim that we're about to see. But otherwise, we've got the same halacha of the 7 days. Can you count the morning of the seventh day as the end of the day, and therefore he's tahor? And we would have the same issue for a male that was keeping 7 days of tahira, and then the morning of the seventh day he was tahor, and then they brought the carbon pesach for him, and then he was roya again towards the end of the day. Exactly the same situation as the shomeret yom kineged yom, except that there's no din of yom kineged yom by a male. So we take a case of the seventh day. Okay, so let's take a look at that. Because Rabbi Yossi, in those circumstances, seems to say very clearly that he is tame retroactively. And you're claiming that, no, it's two separate dinim. There's day one, which is the morning, and then there's day two, which is the evening. So take a look at this. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, in the event that you have a male who is a Baal Shtei Re'iyot, so he needs 7 days of Tahira, Sheshochatu Vizorko Alav Bishviz, so they went ahead, and they brought his Karban Pesach on the seventh day. It was exactly the same thing that the woman did. She gets up in the morning, everything fine. He goes to the mikveh, And then they bring a carbon for him. He's ready to go eat. And all of a sudden, he gets another one of these re'eis, which are, by the way, spontaneous. They have nothing to do with any kind of stimulation. So this could happen at any point. And it turns out that he's unable to eat his carbon Pesach. The same thing would be, of course, of a shomer yom keneged yom, which was the earlier case that we had. Sheshachatu v'zarku aleha. And then she was re'ah on that same day. It's exactly the same halacha. So Rabbi Yossi is going to make it clear that afal pi shemitami mishka v'moshav l'mafreya. Oh no. There goes a monkey wrench into everything that we just said. Here is Rabbi Yossi himself who is saying that actually they do become tamei retroactively. And nonetheless, they don't have to bring the Pesach Sheni. Now that sounds ridiculous logically. And we're going to, of course, examine that in a moment. But I mean, the point is that until now, we were claiming that Rabbi Yossi's got this idea that you could split the same day into two different days. The first part of the day is called a day of Tahira. And then the second part of the day becomes the first day of a new Re'iyah. And it's a day of Tuma. And that it's Mikana Lahaba. And here Rabbi Yossi says, nonsense. Who ever told you about that Mikana Lahaba jazz? You're definitely going to be Tamei L'mafreya. Well, there goes Rav's basis, if that's what Rabbi Yossi holds, if it's retroactive. Well, come on, says the Gemara, you can't take that seriously. I mean, it's a logical impossibility. You can't be Yotzei a Korban Pesach if retroactively you were Tamei, can you? Because, I mean, now you know that when the Korban Pesach was brought, it was all a sham. You were Tamei. Just because at the time, you didn't have your time detector telling you what was going to be in the future. It doesn't change anything, which is now ex post facto, and it shouldn't work. So obviously, if Rabbi Yossi is saying these two contradictory statements, then what he means by saying your tummy lamafreya, he must mean midrabbanan, your tummy lamafreya. Indeed, my lamafreya, midrabbanan. It's got to be that. Talking ami mistavra, obviously it means midrabbanan. Because how could you be potter milas or Pesach Sheni? That's ridiculous. If it turns out that we now know that you were tamei at the time that they brought your korban pesach, how can you bring a korban pesach with someone who's tamei? So at least we have to say that midiraisa, it's not lemafreya, and therefore what Rabbi Yossi is saying is that midiraisa, you have a day that counts as two separate days. It's the day of tahira of your seventh day or of the woman's yom keneged yom. And it's the first day of a new Re'iyah, and that's what Rav is saying. Well, the same concept is true over here. The beginning of the day is the 70th day of your 100-day Naziris, and the end of the day is the first of the 30-day Naziris for your son. Okay, so it's true that the Mishnah obviously doesn't hold this, because otherwise it wouldn't have spoken about not losing or post-70 losing, when in fact you don't lose because you end up making it up for it by the fact that you've got this extra day. That's not like Rav. But this then, of the Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, is like Rav, so it works out perfectly well. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. The reason is, I mean, you may be right, I can't say you're not right, but you're trying to prove to me, you're telling me, well, obviously it's got to be, no, it's not so obvious, although it may be true, but it's definitely not so obvious that that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Why? Because of the murkiness of the dimensionally challenged things that we call humans. And therefore, since their perception of reality is extremely confused, so now the question is, what is the status of a time-dependent event to a time-dependent organism? So here the question is like this. As far as the organism is concerned, the event hasn't happened yet. Now, the fact that we happen to know from outside of your ridiculous point of view that it has happened, because it was retroactive, but there's no perception of that retroactivity at the time, right? So now let me ask you something. How about the concept of what is known as Tum'at HaTahom? Kavi, make sure that you have it. Tum'at HaTahom. So Tum'at HaTahom means, this is a very important concept by Naziris, that in the event that something is true, but is unknown. So for challenged organisms that need to find out facts. They don't know the fact. This is the old Zen koan. So what is the din of one hand clapping? Or what is the din of a tree which falls in the forest where nobody is around to hear it? So this is exactly what happened over here. This guy it was crossing over a cave, one of those pools in a cave, did not have anybody with him, which is a silly thing to do when you're spunkling, but okay. And he ends up slipping, drowning in this pool, and is discovered 139 years later at the bottom of the pool. Now, what happened was that during that time, lots of people were tidal in that pool, which became a popular tourist site. What happens to their Naziris, and what happens, and so on and so forth. Well, that's called Tumata Tahom. So since it is completely unknown, and that means literally unknown, so that, for instance, if the guy was found at the bottom of the pool with a bullet through his head, then that's not called Tumata Tahom, because we assume that somebody put that bullet through his head, and it was known. The murderer knew that this person was there. That's not called Tumata Tahom. But if it's unknown, then it doesn't register in the halakha to be searched in the Naziris or the Korban Pesach. Aha! Now, in this case, you have the equivalent for murky, dimensionally challenged people. It is unknown. Nobody knows about the fact that retroactively at this time, it has already happened that he's tummy. So maybe that's all that Rabbi Yossi is saying. Rabbi Yossi is saying, since it is not known, it hasn't entered into the reality of how the din is paskin, which is limited to what people know, meaning knowable. And since they're stuck in time, it's not knowable. And therefore, that's all Rabbi Yossi is saying. Even though it truly is metame lemafreya, it is considered to be tumat tahom of ziva. Not even though normally the concept of tumata tahom specifically is noged tumas meis, perhaps there's a new concept called tahom de ziva hitiru. And they were mater korban pesach, where the person is tame only because of an unknowable reality that's dependent on the passage of time. Fascinating. So we've got two possibilities. One possibility is that Rabbi Yossi actually holds that there is a tumah lemafreya only derabbanan, and the other is that he holds it's a tumah lemafreya even deraisa. So, okay, that didn't directly, neither of those issues directly attacked Rav, because Rav was just saying the bottom line is that we're treating it as two different days. And it's interesting that these two ways of understanding it, that he's claiming that it's only a Darabona, but Midiraisa counts as two completely separate days. There were others that were involved in the understanding Rav Yossi. And it turns out that Rav Oshaya, not for the reasons of Rav, not that he was trying to bring any riots from it, but he also understood that the meaning of the Tumah Lemafreya, according to Rav Yossi, is that it's only Midirabona, but that actually Midiraisa, it counts as two separate days, the Tanya. Rabbi Oshaya Omer, this is a little bit weird to say Tanya Rabbi Oshaya Omer. I mean, it could say Rabbi Oshaya Tani, because Rabbi Oshaya as an Amora could bring a Braisa, but it's rather strange to say that he said a Braisa. But okay, in any event, it's a loose language. That Haro'eh Zav Beshvishal Soter et Shelefanat. Somebody who had a Re'ia on the last day, he's been waiting 7 days to finally become Tar, and he even went to the mikveh, and he's figuring, okay, great, I'm about to complete everything here. And then he has another re'ia, he loses all 7 days. Rabbi Yochanan says to him, well, why should he lose all 7 days? He should only lose that day. What? Well, what do you mean lose that day? Mamanavshach, I understand. What does Rabbi Yochanan hold? I mean, if it's so, you can't just be so one day, can you? So, Manavshach, I mean, if you're telling me that a re'ia after going to the mikveh and having a full cut 7 days because of mitzvah yom kekulo, that's sufficient, that nonetheless you're soser, so obviously it'd be soser everything. And if you hold it's not soser, it shouldn't be soser anything, not even the day. I don't understand what Rabbi Yochanan is talking about. How do we get a concept of being soser one day? True. The way that we quoted Rabbi Yochanan was clearly misleading. What Rabbi Yochanan meant to say was, lo nistar v'lo yomo, he shouldn't at all be soser anything, because Rabbi Yochanan obviously holds that the idea is that having once become tahar at the beginning of mitzvah yom kekulei, that's the whole day, and it's over. What happens afterwards is a completely different halacha. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan is not going along with Rabbi Oshaya that you can actually impact that time and that it's Lima Freya. He's saying it really isn't Lima Freya at all. And Rav Hoshaya said to him, Omale, you know what? Rav Yossi agrees with you, the Omar, because he says, Mikan Ula Haba Mitame, that he's only Mitame Lekan Ula Haba. Now that's ridiculous. We just read Rav Yossi himself. And Rav Yossi himself said, even though he's Mitame Lema Freya, so how are you sticking into Rav Yossi's words the opposite of what he said? Rav Hoshaya, please. What do you mean Rav Yossi agrees with you? Well, Rav Yossi Lema Freya, the Omar. Therefore, it's clear that Rav Hoshaya, as far as he's concerned, is basically agreeing that it isn't really Lema Freya. And when he said that it's Lema Freya, he meant it's Lema Freya Midrabon. And that's how Rav Hoshaya understands Rav Yossi. Of course, this leaves Rav Yossi in a bit of a pickle, because according to Rav Yossi, how do you ever become a Zava Gedola? I mean, Mirti, if he holds mitzvahs Yom Kekulo, so the moment the Zava wakes up in the morning after her first Re'iyah, the next morning she now is already Tahara, right? So she kept that Mitzvah Yom Kekulo, and now if she sees again, she starts a new count. And then that means that every time she starts a new count. So where do you ever get a Zava that saw 3 days consecutively, and how that is necessary in order to become a Zava Gedola? So according to him, Zava Gemura, the mighty carbon, Echem Shkachas. Where is there ever such a thing? The moment that she sees her second Re'iyah in the middle of the day, it's already after the beginning of the day, which was good enough for the Shimur of Yom Kippur and Yom. So give me the Chazi of Palgad Yuma, Irach Palgad Yuma, the first part of the day, has already helped her for the Shimur of Yom Kippur Yom, and therefore this is a new set of Re'iyahs, right? That's what we just explained, according to Rav Yossi. So how in the world is there a concept of a Zava Gedola? Well, I mean, one very simple solution is that she's been bleeding continually. If she's bleeding continually, so then, of course, 3 days of bleeding clearly would make her a Zava Gedola. Or you don't have to go to that extent, because what might happen is that if she was Re'a on the evening of the day, and she keeps being Re'a through the Tzeta Kochavim, so then what happens? She's already a Zava Kitana on day one, right? 5 minutes before Shkia, she was Re'a Dam. She kept bleeding through the time of Tzeta Kochavim. So now it's day two. So now day two is wrecked. She can't wake up on day two in the morning and say, oh, what a lovely day of Tahara. No, it's not. No, it's not. You started the day off wrong, madam. Okay, so then that would mean that this day is day two. So then she can't use the beginning of the day as Shmiras Yom Kineged Yom. And then the same thing happens at the end of that day. She starts seeing Dam at the end of that day, 5 minutes before Shkia, so she can't use that day of Shimur. She keeps bleeding it through into Tzeta Kochavim, which is day three. That's it. Now she's caught. So Iba Yisei Madachazia Tlata Yume, Somach L'Shkiyata Chama, and therefore there was no time during the day that it could count as a day of Tahira. Delo Havi Shahut, the Solik Le Liminyana, and therefore, since the first part of the day already started off the night before with a Re'iyah of Dam, it doesn't count as a clean day. That's how Rashi learns in the main Sugya. Now, not all the Rishonim agree with Rashi. Tosfos actually disagrees with Rashi, and he holds that even the end of the day is good enough to be called a day of Tahira, and you don't need to have the beginning of the day at the nighttime good. But Tosfos agrees that the middle of the day is certainly not good enough. In other words, it's either going to be the beginning of the day, or it's going to be the end of the day, but the beginning of the day was Tameh, and the end of the day is Tameh, and that is just some arbitrary period in the middle of the day, that's Tar, that is certainly not called Mitzvah Yom Kekulo, even according to Tosfos, and therefore we have an easy way to become a Zava Gedola. Hadran Alach, Hareini Nazir, no Richie, and no Doc. Oh my goodness. Shall we take our elder statesman, Reb Barnea? But that would almost be calling Reb him Yaakov. The new Reb Saba.
Reb Yaakov Kleinman.
Reb Yaakov Kleinman, but then he would have to admit that he's here. That would be, I don't know, extremely challenging. Is Rabbi Yaakov Kleiman ready to admit that he's here to give us a Bali Neder? Maybe even to go so far as find, no, we won't make him do a find on the Hilik Aperik, but can he find his unmute button? This is a major challenge.
That's the challenge. Where is, we're here.
Hadron Allah Harini Nazir.
Bali Neder.
Wow. Amazing. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. So, Bezos Hashem, may we be zochet to Shanim Rabot. This Bali Neder jazz has a bad history. All right, everyone. It's been lovely. Really lovely being together. And I'm very grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for providing the opportunity and to you for coming. So, we've had another very exciting day of some fabulously clear-cut Nazir sugyas that strike you at the beginning of being hopelessly complicated and turn out to be a joy. Go to everyone.